Muchas gracias. Muy buenos días a todos. Anybody speak Spanish? ¿Hablas español? Sí. Qué bueno. Gloria a Dios. Aleluya. Woo! We got a Spanish speaker in the house today. Wow, it is such a privilege to be here today. And as you guys know, Colombia is known for their coffee. We have the most delicious coffee in the world, I will say, but I'm very opinionated because I live in Colombia. It is hand-picked from the bush, Juan Valdez. It is sun-dried, and let me tell you, it is delicious. So, Pastor Ray, you and your wife get some 100% Juan Valdez coffee for your house, and it's the real deal, delicious. I think you get the fuerte. Fuerte is like intense. So God bless you, God bless you. What a pleasure it is to be here this morning. As Pastor Ray said, I was raised in Webster, New York. We attended a church there in Webster. I grew up going to church every Sunday, but it was a church that did not preach or speak about knowing Jesus Christ personally, did not talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, I was like, yeah, the Trinity. Okay, I believe in that. So I didn't understand. We had a Bible. It stayed on the shelf, and it collected lots of dust. It was like the sacred book. It was just there on the shelf. So we went to church on Sunday. There was eight of us. I'm from a good Italian family. What's the matter for you? We got Italians in the house today? Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah! Praise the Lord. And we'd go to church every Sunday, but then the rest of the week, we just lived how we wanted to live, and we really didn't understand this whole salvation thing. We didn't understand the Bible, the Word of God. So I went off to college, and when I was in college, I went to Buffalo State College because that is close. Actually, you know what? It's funny I'm here in Cobleskill because I don't tell very many people this, but I really wanted to be a chef. And when I went to Schrader, our school, our high school, we went to Schrader together, Schrader High School, right there in Webster, I always wanted to be a chef, but I never did good in school. And I had like all C's and D's, and it was terrible because my mom and dad are school teachers, and it was like, our daughter can't even pass. What's the matter with her? I don't know why school did not come easy. So if there's any teenagers in the house today and you're not doing good in school, there is hope because I became a school teacher and it was like just to the grace of God. My teachers would laugh if they heard I was a school teacher. What? That girl? Oh my goodness. But I remember I applied at Cobleskill right here. Like as I passed it, I was like, I got like kind of overwhelmed because I applied at Cobleskill because I always wanted to be a chef. And you guys have a chef program here at Cobleskill. And I said, I want to go to Cobleskill. And I had it in my heart to go to Cobleskill. But you know what? I was not saved. I did not know Jesus Christ personally as my Savior. I was a sinner. My goodness, we're all sinners, but we're saved by grace. Hallelujah. And I just did not understand the whole salvation thing. And God knew. So I got turned down at Cobleskill because my grades were so low. And I was so devastated because I said, I just want to be a chef. I want to be a chef so bad. And I ended up going to Monroe Community College because it was the only college I could get into with my low grades and studied food service. And after that, God put me in a whole nother direction. I went to Buffalo State College, studied special ed, elementary. But I want to tell you this morning that a lot of times we're kind of walking. I'm going to preach about this a little later, but we're walking along thinking we're doing, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden God's like, no, wait a minute, I got a different plan for you. And ended up at Buffalo State College. It was all in the divine plan. Didn't know it at the time. I thought I'd graduate, work at a group home with mentally retarded adults, and then have a restaurant. That's what really was my vision. And we'd have like a garden, and they would do all the work, and you know, we'd work together, and then we'd go home together. And that was what I really, really wanted to do. And a lot of times we get like a vision or something we really, really want to do, and God's like, well, you know, that's really good, and you want to help people, but I want you really to do this instead. And that's why it's so important to be totally, I like the song we sang today, totally 100% surrendered to God, because it's not my will be done, but your will be done, God, because you know what's best for my life. So went off to Buffalo State College, graduated, was looking for a job in Buffalo because I loved Buffalo. I had all my friends there. But I want to tell you this morning, it's probably happening here at Cobleskill. You got a mission field right here at Cobleskill. I was walking around Buffalo State College. Where are the Christian? Where is everybody? And I was watching because they said, oh, this guy's a Christian. And then I'd see him out at the bars and all these girls around him. I said, yeah, but is he really a Christian? I'm looking for somebody who's radically, you know, you watch when you're a sinner. You watch when you're not saved, when you don't know Jesus Christ, you're watching how people are acting. And anyways, I went to a job fair in Buffalo, and this is how God works. I went to the job fair, gave my resume, Oswego County BOCES, and they said, we need a special ed teacher right now in Fulton, New York. Can you move from Buffalo in 2 weeks to Fulton, New York? They didn't even call my references. They hired me on the spot. Now, is that not God or what? That's how God works, people, right? Amen. Some of you guys can testify that this morning. God does things. You're just like, wow, okay. So I said, yeah, I can move in 2 weeks. You know, I was 20-some years old. And I was like, yeah, I want a job. So God took me from Buffalo to Fulton. I'll tell you, it's about a four-hour drive. And I went from Buffalo to Fulton, New York. And I would drive every weekend back to Buffalo because that was the partying place. Because, like, here at Cobleskill, they probably have this problem. I don't know. Maybe they don't, but most state universities do. It's like a cyclone or like a vacuum cleaner, and you get sucked in to this partying life. And if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. I got teenagers in the house today. Teenagers, get this. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And I just, you know, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, let's go out to the bar, okay, because that's what everybody's doing. You know, I didn't even like to drink, but I went out with them. All of a sudden, it was like Friday night, then it was Friday, Saturday, then it was Sunday, Monday, and it was like every night of the week. It was incredible. It was like I just got sucked into it. And I want to tell you that there's people here, right here in your college, that are looking for Jesus. They're looking for hope, and they're not going to come up and say, oh, what church do you go to? I'm looking for Jesus. But there's this desire inside of them, and they don't know what to do about it. So I would encourage you, be a mission field right here in Cobleskill, because at Buffalo State College, I'm like, where's the Christians? What's happening? So anyways, I went from Buffalo to Fulton. I started going to an Assembly of God church. I only knew the church I grew up in and Assemblies of God. I sat in the back row. I came late and I left early because I was like, no one's going to come up to me and talk to me because, you know, when you're so full of sin, you feel so guilty and shameful. And I just felt, oh, I felt terrible. So people just started loving me at that church. And it was Pastor Tim Adore was my first pastor. And then my second pastor was Pastor Dan Sanglombeni, who's now a missionary in Africa. My goodness. And those, I'll tell you, my pastors loved me into the kingdom of God and the people of the church. And I like this morning how, like, you guys just kept going, greeting each other. You know what I mean? It was so cool. It wasn't like all of a sudden there was a silence. I think we had to, like, stop it because everybody was so into it. That was beautiful. So just be a church that loves people. Don't judge people because those people could have judged me. And I thought, oh, they're going to judge me. They're going to say, sinner, repent and get saved. And I'd be like, ah, I don't know what to do. But they just loved me into the kingdom of God. We had missionaries come in and out of the church. I think even before I was saved, it took me a while to get saved because I was in my 20s and I was stubborn. I'm like, I don't know about this. And we had missionaries coming in and out of our church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all the time. And the Lord began to stir missions, missions, missions. Well, I was a special ed teacher. And I thought, how can God use a special ed teacher from New York? What's that all about? I didn't even study the Bible. I didn't go to Bible college. All my education is secular. But I went to my pastor, and that time, Pastor Tim Adore, he sent me for a summer to NYSUM, New York School of Urban Ministry, because I was a school teacher. I had the summers off. Went for 6 weeks, and the Lord totally transformed my life. I was sharing last night with my dear sister over here, Stella. She's beautiful. If you don't know Stella, get to know her. She's a sweetheart. She's a sweetie. I was sharing with her last night that here I was in Fulton with all this stuff. Like, I had a good paycheck. I would be at the mall, like, every weekend buying new shoes, new dresses, new accessories. Oh, my goodness. I was filling. My whole apartment was full. And I remember one day sitting around my apartment thinking, and get this, young people. Get this good today, because our culture tells you, you got to make money. You got to have more money and get the job that's going to give you money and go for it and everything. And I sat in my apartment. I said, I have everything I could possibly want. I could go on a cruise if I wanted to right now. I have everything I could possibly want. Brand new car, everything. And I am so miserable. Okay? Money is not the answer. Okay? And that answer was Jesus Christ. I needed Jesus Christ in my life. And that searching, that longing. And I said, something's got to change. There's got to be more to life than this. And then I thought, well, maybe if I get married. Well, maybe if I have kids. You know, you do that like, well, what if? What if? What if? No, 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 no. You have to learn to be content where you are at and what God has given you. And anyways, long story short, I was saved, had a revelation of Jesus Christ on the New York State Thruway coming back from Darien Lake, Kingdom Bound. Have you heard of Michael Peace? Yeah, Michael Peace. I love it. See, you guys, yeah, this is great. We can, like, relate to all this stuff. Michael Peace was the first rap artist, Christian rap artist, and ends up, oh my goodness, I went to his concert, and it was like he just spoke to me, and it was like I was the only person in the concert. And it was the first time a Christian really was speaking right at me, like real. I bought all his cassette tapes back then, all the way home to Fulton, New York, for 4 hours on the New York State Thruway, listening to Jesus, the rock of my salvation, and he's going to take over the entire nation. Okay, just over and over all these songs. And I had a revelation of Jesus Christ. And what am I talking about this morning? I'm talking Jesus Christ bombarded my car. And it was like, it was like the light bulb went off. Bing! I was like, yes, this is what it's all about. I want to serve you, Jesus. I want to know you, Jesus. Yes, I've lived 25 years of my life for myself. I've been so selfish. It was all about me. You know, like sometimes it's all about me. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, me, what I want. I said, no more. I'm going to serve you, Jesus, with everything. I went back to Fulton. I went to my pastor and I said, I am totally surrendered. And I'll tell you what, when I did that, there was a brokenness, because if you don't serve Jesus, a lot of junk comes along with it. You get a lot of baggage. And I remember just crying, releasing it to God. So long story short, filled out an application with the Assemblies of God. I checked anywhere in the world. I went to New York City one summer. The next summer I went to Holland. After Holland, I filled out an application with the Assemblies of God. And when you check anywhere in the world, guess what? You are going to go anywhere. And I started getting all this mail from Colombia. I'm like, Colombia, where's Colombia? I bought a map, put a thumbtack in Bogota. And, oh, well, look at that. You guys are good. Who did that? Wow, you go. That's awesome. Okay, that's what I did. I put it up there. Look at this. We'll just start the PowerPoint. Where is Colombia? You got Canada, the U.S., Central America, and then you got South America. There we go. Next one. Oh, you're good. It is in South America, and it borders the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean. If you look up to the left, you'll see a little squiggly. That's Panama, all the way up on the left there. And then the first, oh, look at that. He is good. He is on it. The first country going into South America is Colombia. And that's what I did. I bought a map. Bogota is right smack dab in the middle. And I started praying, your will be done, God, if you want me to go to Colombia. And back then, being a baby Christian, I had been saved 2 years. Baby Christian, what am I talking about? I mean, I didn't even know where the books of the Bible were. You know, the Bible is like any good book. It has a table of contents. I would be looking up in the table of contents, you know, because I'm a teacher. Oh, look up in the table of contents. What page is Malachi? Oh, yeah, what's that? Isaiah, what's that? Because I didn't know. I didn't know the word of God. And by faith, my pastor said, Leslie, start moving in that direction. If God puts up obstacles, you're not supposed to go to Colombia. If he opens every door, you walk through it and you go to Colombia. I want to tell you this morning, God opened every single door for me to go to Colombia. I left. I went for 3 years. I was a short-term missionary. I came home 6 years and prayed the whole time, Lord, send me back to Colombia. But I was like that big piece of ice that the sculpture uses. You know, I used to go to all these food service shows, and you'd always see the big pieces of ice, and you'd be like, wow, what's it going to look like in a little bit? And you see the artist with the chisel, okay, chiseling away. And after a while, this beautiful angel or this beautiful swan comes out. And that's what God did for 6 years. He just chiseled away all this junk. He's still chiseling, let me tell you. But those 6 years was, man, I could really feel that chisel. Those tests and tribulations we have to go to so we can become more and more like Jesus. Okay, James talks about it, that we would be mature, lacking nothing. If you want a good verse, look it up. James 1 when you go home today. That we would be mature, lacking nothing. And went back to Colombia for 4 more years. After 7 years of a short-term missionary, I applied with the Assemblies of God to become a career missionary. When you become a career missionary, you have to go through all these interviews and all this stuff. You get interviewed by all these people. You go down to Springfield, Missouri. I was down there for 5 weeks, did training. And now I am committed to stay in Colombia as long as God has me there. I'm on 1 year of itineration. I have 80 services this year, starting in January. And we're halfway through 6 months, so I don't know if I've done 40, I don't even know. But it's like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, I'm in a different church sharing about Colombia, raising prayer support, and then financial support. Thank you for being a missions church that gives, because that's what it's all about. It is sending those out here also in this place, but also into the world to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to the next one here. What am I doing in Colombia? This is Luz del Mundo, Light of the World Foundation. To the right, you'll see the foundation. This is an Assembly of God foundation. The bottom floor is a dining hall. The middle floor is a church. And the top floor are classrooms. This is a before and after school program. In Colombia, they have been in war for 40 plus years. Okay, 40 plus years. They are in a civil war. We have a left-wing rebel group. And they are Marxist communists. And then they were going in and taking all the land, and they're the ones doing the cocaine and the marijuana, which you have all heard about, I'm sure. When you hear the word Colombia, you probably think of that. And they were going and causing all this havoc. So a right-wing group rose up, which was the farm owners and ranchers, and they said, we are tired of the rebels coming in and taking over our land. And they started fighting these two groups. Now, the right wing was supposed to be the good guys. Now, they're just as corrupt as the left wing. They're into the drug trade. They're into the kidnapping, all this craziness, extortion, crazy things happening. But when you live in a war-torn country, you have poverty like you have never seen in your entire life. This neighborhood runs for miles and miles. You can see it is not paved. We'll go on to the next screen so you can see a little bit of the neighborhood if you look up at the top screen. I tell people this all the time in the U.S. If you have a refrigerator, you are so blessed and you're rich. Did you know that this morning? If you have a refrigerator, you're rich. If you have a washing machine, dryer, and refrigerator, you're like super rich. You're like living in the upper crust. Woo! Because here in this neighborhood, there is no refrigerator to be found. There is no washing. If you can see the lady washing her clothes by hand, she washes them in a basin, rinses them, and then you'll see miles and miles of the people just hanging their laundry, and the people literally live on top of each other. You can see the next door neighbor right next to her. There's like a brick wall that separates them. This goes on for miles. So you're in a neighborhood of poverty. Understand this. When you live in poverty in Colombia, you get a mindset, I am poor, I am poverty, and I will never get out of this. What we're doing is we're teaching these children, Jesus has a purpose and plan for your life. God created you in his image. He knit you together in your mother's womb, and he has a purpose for your life. So down here, we'll start showing you here, these are children taking guitar and drum lessons. We have 103 kids taking guitar and drum lessons at the foundation. And I'll tell you, this is the way God moves. These guitars and drums were donated by the country of Finland. Finland sent out two Christian men, and they just happened to come into this foundation. It was not a coincidence. It was a God incidence that they found the foundation. They came. They went back to Finland. Finland said, we're going to buy the guitars and the drums for these kids. They also bought soccer uniforms and cleats. We have 400 kids come on Saturday. They come for an evangelistic message at 1:30. They take them to the soccer fields and train them up on soccer teams in hopes that some of those kids will go on to be professional soccer players in the nation of Colombia. Okay, going to the next one here. This is Pastor Carlos and Janet. They started the foundation. You can see one of the classrooms here. There's a teacher for each classroom. We have 5 to 7-year-old classroom, 8 to 9, I believe 10 and 11, and then the teenagers. It runs from 5 to 17 years old, this foundation. They go into the classroom. There's a teacher in there. They have a Bible devotion, and then the teacher helps them with their homework and gives them lots of love. If it was not for this foundation, these children would be on the streets involved in gangs, drugs, and prostitution. Okay, in this neighborhood. So they're the directors, and he's also the pastor of the church there. Okay, next one we have here. These are the beautiful children. Children, children, children. If you love children, you would love the foundation. They come up, they hug you, they're so happy you're there. I mean, anything you could do for them, such gratitude, such thankfulness that they have. They're beautiful children. Okay, going on to the next one here, we have teaching drama and puppets. When I went to NYSEM, I was trained in puppets and drama. I didn't know this, but they taught us how to use a puppet, how to do dramas, how to evangelize. It was like a mini Bible school. And here at the foundation, we have a morning group and an afternoon group. So the morning group, I have a puppet team. And then the afternoon group, I have another puppet team. We have a drama team in the morning, a drama team in the afternoon. And then this puppet stage and puppets were donated from an Assembly of God church in Nebraska. See how God provides? He is so good. We serve an awesome God. Anytime today you want to get excited, go right ahead. Because God is, yeah, hallelujah. God is doing amazing things in the nation of Colombia. Okay, going on to the next one here. Teaching English, because I speak English and it's Spanish all the time. I speak Spanish all the time. For 6 months, I've been speaking a lot of English. But it's Spanish all the time. We teach the children English if they want to learn English. We'll go to the next one here. I believe is the bakery. If there's money, they buy the flour, the yeast, the ingredients. They have set up one of those big mixers with the dough hook. They have an oven, and they bake bread there. Now, the bread that they bake is for the next day for the children because they feed 550 kids Monday through Friday because there is no food to be found. I know it's hard to believe, but most of us could go home today and open the pantry and get a bag of Lay's. We could get a muffin. I mean, most of us could go right now to McDonald's and buy something off the dollar meal, right? Okay, even the kids here, right? Okay, but in Colombia, you have to understand there is no food at all to be found in their homes. They live day to day for the basic need of food. So here, they come to the foundation, they get a roll and hot chocolate for breakfast every morning. And then also they sell it to the community. They're teaching the kids marketing skills too, selling and bringing the money back into the foundation. Okay, and if you look at the kids, look how happy they are. They're so precious. You would love them. Wish I could take you all there right now. Like if we could just zap there really quick to Columbia and you could see the foundation and come back to Cobleskill, that'd be so cool. Okay, next one we have, if you can see the precious kids, these are the 5 to 7-year-olds eating their lunch. And lunch is every day, every single day, rice and beans, 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 red beans, lentils, whatever kind of beans they have, because that's going to be your cheapest thing to make. And they get like a piece of plantain, like the banana, you know, like they fry the banana. If there's money, they'll get a little bit of meat. If there's no money, there's no meat. And they try to give them a fruit juice. Now, I've been at the foundation where there's not money. This is all based on faith. These people pray. They have all-night vigils. They'll pray from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., believing God's going to supply every need for the foundation. Because the government gives 45 cents a day to feed the children. 45 cents a day, that's not much. But I've been at the foundation where they'll serve spaghetti, and they'll boil a big thing of water and put some bouillon cubes on it, or in it, and then they'll have white rice. They'll serve you this pasta with white rice. Now, how many of you guys, if you went home today, you'd be like, this is it, this is my lunch, but you know what? Those kids are starving, so they're like, thank you so much, thank you, and they eat it, and they're happy because it fills their empty stomach, and they have something to eat that day. But sometimes I just want to cry when I have to eat that because I think this is pure starch with no fruits, no vegetables, no vitamins for these children. But at least they're getting fed something. Okay, going on to the next one we have is discipleship groups. I teach, these girls are 11 to 17-year-olds in the morning, afternoon discipleship group. We did this past year, The Battlefield of the Mind, by Joyce Myers for teenagers. Let me tell you, it was incredible. If you know anything about Joyce Myers, yes, okay, she suffered a lot in her life, and the neat thing is I was able to tell the girls how she had been violated years after year, and nobody did anything about it. Her mom knew about it, didn't do anything. It was by her father. Was able to share with these girls. I want to tell you this morning, when you share with these girls and you tell them somebody has been through some of the stuff they've been through, they can totally identify, and you should have seen their faces. And I kept bringing that up as we went through the book, because Joyce Myers keeps bringing it up about her childhood and things that happened to her. And look, this woman is serving God, because God has a purpose and plan for every single person. And even if bad things happen to us, God can still do it. He has mercy and grace. He can do it. There's forgiveness in his name. Yes. Okay, going on to the next one, we have dental ministry. If you don't have money for food, you don't have money for a toothbrush. Can you imagine that? How many of you guys get excited about going to the dentist? Oh, I'm going in June. I can't wait. June 25th, I got a dentist appointment. Woo! Okay, probably not very many of us, right? These kids have the opportunity to go to the dentist. I take 25 kids once a month. Now, because you give to missions, missionaries are able to do stuff like this. I pay their bus fare. It's an hour from the foundation to another church. There's two dentists that volunteer their time every Saturday, and there's about, I don't know, depends on how many volunteers. It could be 5, 8 volunteers. The kids, when I say, we're going to the dentist next month, they're like, oh, Leslie, I need to go to the dentist. My tooth hurts. Oh, Leslie, I haven't been in a year. Oh, Leslie, can I please on the list? Oh, Leslie, I, you know, they beg to go to the dentist. And I'd say, well, Pastor Janet's going to take care of the list. So I got 25 kids every month. We go to the dentist. And this is why they love going to the dentist, because look at their happy faces, because they get toothbrushes and toothpaste because they don't have that. And sometimes if they don't have toothpaste, they just brush their teeth with the toothbrush because it can't afford the toothpaste. But at least they're doing something to keep their teeth healthy. If you go to the next one, this part of the dental ministry, they have crafts, games, Bible lesson, haircuts. Get this, if you don't have money for food, you don't have money to go to haircut. So they have people there cutting their hair. They give them a snack and a lunch, which is the highlight. I hope nobody's hungry in the house today because I'm talking about food. But they give them a healthy snack and a lunch, which is a big deal if you have no food at your home. And then they give them each a bag as they leave. Inside the bag is more food, healthy food like apples and potato chips, things maybe that they can't always get. And then there's a coloring book that goes from Genesis to Revelations that tells the whole gospel message of Jesus Christ. Salvation message. And I want to tell you this morning, when you give a piece of literature to a Columbia, it's not like, oh, yeah, that was nice. Oh, put it in the recycling pile. Ah, throw it out. You know, and oh, what's all this clutter in the house? Get rid of this. No, they take it, they read it, and get this. The child reads it. The brother, the sister, the mother, the father, the grandmother, the grandfather, the neighbor. Okay, 25 people could read one piece of literature. that is given to one of these kids. That coloring book is read by several people, and they treasure that coloring book. You should see, we get on the bus, they're all like, reading their book. They're all excited. There's some crayons in there, there's activities in there. So they're getting the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Okay, going to the next one here. To the left, Franklin Graham came to Bogota. Y'all know who Franklin Graham is, Billy Graham, right? Okay, they came, did a crusade. It took a whole year to get ready for it. It was amazing. I don't know if you know this, but there's always a kids' fest on Saturday morning. Because you guys give to missions, missionaries are able to do this. I was able to take the Suba kids on a bus to go see Franklin Graham on Saturday morning. Well, it was a kids' presentation put out by Franklin Graham. We broke the record in Bogota, Colombia for the largest kids' fest in the history of Billy Graham. 160,000 children filled a stadium. Incredible, incredible. I've never seen so many children in my entire life. You know when they do like the altar call, they want the kids to go to the middle? There was no middle, okay? The people had to like walk around and, you know, they have the people praying and they do the, it was amazing, incredible, incredible. Also, because you give to missions, missionaries are able to do this. It was Valentine's Day, okay? Can you imagine not having ice cream? I went to the pastor's wife, I said, what can we do for the kids? It's Valentine's Day, let's do something special. She said, Leslie, they never have ice cream. I said, really? Let's do ice cream. I went and bought these big, I found, you know, you can find, I live in a city, Bogota. It's a big city, 10 million people. Found these big things of ice cream. Each kid got 2 scoops of vanilla ice cream and a wafer. You would have thought, look at their faces, if you can see their faces. You would have thought I brought triple dicker banana splits from Friendly's. They were like, oh, ice cream. They were so excited. So because you guys give to missions, you're able to reach out and help kids that never get ice cream. They get ice cream that one time they got it because they can't afford to get it. Okay, going on to the next one here. I do Sunday school and teacher workshops. I'm a New York State teacher. Never thought in a million years, but when you surrender fully to God, God will do incredible things through you. Okay, next one is follow up with teachers, just seeing how they're doing, supporting them. Sunday school, children's church, giving them materials. Young adults Bible study, English class. This was Monday nights at 6:30. I opened my apartment for a Bible study. We did an English class, which is real big to young adult Colombians. And then we always had food. And this night, because, you know, I wanted to be a chef, so I like that food aspect. We made American-style pancakes, and they were amazed. Okay, hot air popper I brought with me from the States. They were like this. They'd never seen a hot air popper. Can you imagine that? They were like, ooh, can you do that again? Wow. And these young adults, because they're all from different churches, fellowshipping, getting to know other young adults from other churches. Okay, going on to the next one, we have youth services, get to preach all over the place. We'll go on to the next one here, translating for medical teams. We have medical teams come down. If we have a nurse or a doctor, this lady came down 2 summers in a row on a medical team. We serviced in a very poor neighborhood way up in the mountains of Bogota. And I was able to translate Spanish, English, English, Spanish all day long for this physician's assistant. I want you to understand this. In Colombia, children die because they can't afford to get Tylenol to bring down their fever. Can you imagine that? I mean, I'm like at, you guys have, you don't have Wegmans here, do you? Okay, I'm at the drugstore. and I'm seeing buy one, get one free Tylenol. Or the dollar store. I go to the dollar store. You should see me buying. I've already started like buying stuff that's on sale. Like I go to garage sales here and I'm always buying stuff to bring back to Colombia. So they bring medicines to help the kids. Lice, if you got lice, you just have it, you deal with it. Because it's just part of your everyday life. You can't afford the lice medicine because you're too busy trying to feed your children and feed their empty stomachs. Okay, going on to the next one here. New York AIM. Anybody know what AIM is? Teenagers, ambassadors, and missions. You can go on an AIM trip. We had 2 summers. New York AIM came down. We had 9 the first year on the team, and then we'll go to the next frame here. They came, they did dramas, songs, they learned Spanish. They met up in Port Jervis, New York for 2 days. They bonded as a team, prayed together, learned Spanish dramas, and then we took them out into the parks and did evangelism for a week. Also helped to paint a church, coming to support the local church in Bogota. And then the second year, we had 24 come, and this was our official day to play soccer. Guess who won? The Colombians against U.S. The Colombians, they killed us. They're born with a soccer ball in their hand. But again, integrating into their culture of playing soccer, we had this big game, and then on the sidelines, of course, the whole neighborhood came out because they're like, Okay, excuse me a minute, but the gringos, do you know what gringo is? It's like a slang word they use. Like, let's go watch the gringos play, or the North Americans. Let's go watch them play. Oh, wow, this is really cool. And if you have blonde hair or red hair, it's even more cool because that's like fascinating to them. Okay, and then the last one here, I say muchas gracias, New York State Youth. Do you guys do Speed the Light here? Yay! I love Speed the Light. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have a vehicle. For 7 years, I took the bus in Colombia. And I can tell you, when you take the bus in Colombia, you just go out on the road and you're looking for your bus. It's got like things in the front where you want to go. Oh, that's my bus, that's my bus. And you're happy. You're like, oh, yes. And you go like this. You just go like this to get your bus. And as soon as you get up onto the bus like this, as soon as you grab hold of the handle here and you go like this, the bus takes off. Because they're like, oh, we're in a hurry, you know. We got to get to the next stop. We got to make money. Woo, you know. So 2 times this happened to me. I went to get on the bus. And there was nowhere to go because you go up the steps, you go through the turnstile, and you pay. I literally grabbed onto here, went like this, put my other foot up, and there was nowhere to go. The bus was packed. I literally rode the bus like this. I saw the road below me. I saw the cars this way and that way, and I said, thank you, Jesus, that I do not have a heavy backpack. Thank you, Lord, I don't have high heels or a skirt on. I never wear skirts on the buses anymore. I learned pants. Second time it happens to me. You think I would have learned the first time. But you know, you're just so happy because transportation is very complicated there. And you're just like this. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is my bus. Yes, I need to get to work. Oh my goodness. And you go to get up and it happened again. And then he stopped again. And this man came right here. And the man put his arms around me. And he put them here and he put them here. And I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. So thank you to Speed the Light. I have a vehicle. I'm able to transport things. I'm able to transport the teachers from the foundation because they also are poor. They get paid about $200 a month. And when it's a day off, it's a very Catholic country, so we have all the Catholic holidays off, a lot of Mondays off. If we have a Monday off, we'll get the teachers together and we'll take them out and do something nice for them just to bless them there. So thank you, New York State. Speed the Light. You guys are awesome. God bless you. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. All right. I just want to give you a quick word today. Are you guys with me? All right. Are we ready for the word of God? Hallelujah. Okay, guess what? When you actually talk or speak, it helps to keep you awake. I drive miles and miles and miles all over the place, New York City, Albany. And if I sing in the car, I'm able to stay awake better because it brings oxygen into your body and helps you to stay awake. So if you start to doze off, start going, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you'll stay awake. Hallelujah. Okay, this morning, I just want to give you a quick lesson here. I got to keep track of my time here, although you guys aren't in a hurry. Just kidding. Preach all afternoon. No. I want to give you 3 things this morning. And this is something that God has taught me over the years. Because so many of you guys are sitting here today, and I know this just because it happened to me, and I know other people too. Sometimes we get paralyzed or we get stuck. Because either something happened to us in the past and we never got over it, or we've asked for forgiveness from somebody, or we've forgiven somebody, but we just can't seem to get victory in that area of our lives. And a lot of times what happens, we get paralyzed and stuck, and then we can't move on for God to use us to go to be a missionary, or go here to Cobleskill, to the college, or share our faith with others, because we kind of get like in this position, and we don't know what to do, and we're like, well, I guess this will never get healed, I guess I just have to deal with this. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there is victory, and God wants to use every single one of you to go, because you know what, sometimes the mission field is 50 yards away from your house, but we have to be walking in the Spirit, and we have to be in right alignment. I'm going to talk about alignment today, so let's just pray before we go into the Word. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would have your way today. I pray Holy Spirit anointing that you would anoint me to bring forth this word, that you would be glorified. Use me as a vessel of honor and glory. Give us open hearts, open ears to hear your message today, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for these wonderful pastors here, Pastor Ray and his wife, Lord God, their family. We pray many blessings upon them, Lord. We pray anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon them. Continue to anoint them. Give them much wisdom, Lord God, as they lead their flock, Lord, as they shepherd, Lord God. I just pray for anybody today who's struggling, Lord. I pray that you would meet them right where they are, that they would feel your presence in such a mighty and powerful way. Pray for anybody who's maybe not feeling well today, Lord, that you would touch them physically, Lord, that you would completely heal their body. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios. That's what they do in Colombia. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 things today. I'm a school teacher, so I brought some visuals. Number 1, I got Spirit. Pretend you're my little fourth graders. I taught fourth grade for 3 years. Okay, spirit. I want to give you spirit, okay? I'm just going to put them like right here because I got some sticky tack. I hope you can see them okay. Many people are visual learners and they need to see it for themselves, okay? And the second one I'm going to give you this morning is soul. Alma. Alma for my Spanish speakers here. Espíritu, alma, y, I think I was going to go right there, yes, okay? And the third one is body, okay? In 1 Thessalonians, if you look there real quick, I like people to see the Word of God for themselves because it's so important you take it in. You know, God speaks to us through His Word. Important that you bring your Bible to church. In Colombia, people cannot afford Bibles. Many of my children do not have Bibles. We have the Bereans down in Colombia, and several of them are donating Bibles to the children down there, which is awesome. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let me show you this. Okay. Sorry. Okay, let's see here. Stay. You got to stay there. Let me see if it'll stay. Okay, I'll tell you what. You can be my person here. Well, there we go. Maybe it's going to stay now. Okay. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to understand this today. God is a God of order. I used to love this when I taught math to my kids. It's not that hard. God's a God of order. It makes sense. It goes in an order when I taught at the Christian school. This is a proper order that we are supposed to be walking in. When we are walking in the spirit, this is the proper order. When we're walking spirit, soul, and body, when you walk in the spirit, I'm talking about Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay, you're walking in the spirit. You're like, yes, I've got peace. Everything is well between me and my Savior. I've got joy today. I'm not talking about happiness, but I'm talking about joy. There's a joy that you have even in the midst of hard circumstances. I'm talking about patience. You know, patience isn't just waiting. Patience is the attitude you have while you wait. Okay? That's okay. We're not using body that much. You can have the body. Thank you. patience is the attitude you have while you wait. Think about it. When you go to the supermarket, oh man, I always get in the wrong line. Come on, hurry up, man. Look at this. Oh gosh, now she got 50 million coupons. Oh, now they got to do a check. Oh my goodness. Okay, and then you get up to the register. Okay, la, 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 la. And they kind of look at you like, okay, you know, and then God can't use us fully as a witness, okay? And maybe God would have us to witness to that person or be nice to them or kind to them. But patience is the attitude you have while you wait. Teenagers in the morning, oh, I don't want to get up for school. Five more minutes. Oh, I'm so tired. And your parents are like, get up, come on, we're going to be late. Hurry up, ah, okay? Or how come my gym shorts are clean, Mom? I told you I had gym today. You didn't tell me you had. No, I did tell you. Okay. All right, patience is the attitude you have while you wait. We have to be careful with that because if we want to be true witnesses unto Jesus Christ, we have to have an attitude check, okay? Check our own attitude, okay? Let me show you what the soul is consisted of. Okay, so walking in the spirit. Like today, when you leave church, you're probably going to be walking in the spirit. You're like, yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I just went to church. We had great worship. We had a message. Oh, my goodness, I feel so good. But a lot of times this is what happens, and you guys are gonna identify with this. Believe me, we all identify it because we're all human beings and nobody's perfect. We're walking in the spirit, we're doing great, everything's great. You could have a great prayer time in the morning. You're like, yes, hallelujah, I'm ready for the day, gloria a Dios, woo, everything's good. All of a sudden something happens. Now let me show you this, because the soul is consisted of your will. Okay, I'm gonna try to put this on here. No, I'm not. I'm going to put it right here. Okay. Your will, it's connected to the soul. Your mind and your emotions. This is your soul, okay? And what happens a lot of times is we get walking in the soul or the flesh. You probably heard walking in the flesh, okay? So I'm just going to kind of try to put them on here. We'll see if they stay. If they don't, they don't. But you know it's number two. I got to take it off there in a minute to show you something anyways. Okay, so the mind is your will, your mind, and your emotions. Okay, this is what happens a lot of times. We get a thought in our mind, and that it consumes us. Okay, like I grew up in a very turbulent home. There's a lot of things happening in my home. And I'll think, oh, this happened to me when I was little, and I'll always be this way, and I can't change it, and I don't know why I always react this way. And we start to analyze everything about that thought. I want to tell you this morning, you have to be careful with your thought life. There's a, let me show you real quick in the Word of God, because this is a verse that changed my life forever. Philippians 4:8. Go there real quick. Philippians 4:8. If you don't know where it is, look it up. Good book, table of contents. Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, thank you so much, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy or excellent, think about such things. This is a command from the Word of God. Do you know that everything in the Word of God is for your life? The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so we have the mind of Christ. We are to think about things that Jesus would think about. Okay, what would Jesus think about? Things that are true, excellent, praiseworthy. When you get a thought, we'll just line them up here so that nobody gets distracted, because the enemy would love nothing more than to distract us with sticky tack this morning so we can't get the message. We'll just throw them right here. Okay, so spirit, soul, and I'll just put emotions down there. But you have the mind of Christ, and I want to tell you this morning. When you get negative thoughts in your mind, you have to examine and say, is this a thought from God? Should I be thinking about this? Should I be dwelling on this? I don't know about you, but not too long ago, I would get these feelings of despair. Like this, okay, now I'm going on to emotions, but anyways, like this feeling of despair. And I didn't know where it came from. Like, where is this coming from? And I would analyze it and try to figure it out. Well, forget it. Don't sit there and analyze it. Say, you know what? This is what I do now. Get this. This is for you this morning, people. I say, you know what? I don't know where that thought came from. I don't know why I'm feeling despair, but in Jesus' name, I do not accept it. Be gone in the name of Jesus. We must take authority, people. You have been given authority. If you know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, you have the authority of Jesus Christ, and you need to act on it, okay? The Bible says, Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is in here, you know the heart, sometimes we think like the pumping, boom, 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 all the blood, you know, the organ. This here is talking about your intellect, your soul, talking about the heart. If you have things inside of you that are negative, discouraging, if you're always talking negative, oh, I'll never do anything good, oh, I'll never succeed, I'll always be a failure, I can't get along with people, oh, my childhood's got me all messed up. Guess what? You will live a defeated life. You need to speak words of life. Proverbs says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Speak life. This is what I do now. When I, like, this is so bad. I used to do this with my Spanish. When I was doing the teacher workshop, sometimes I'd say, okay, we're going to have this great workshop, and I just want to tell you this morning that, you know, I know Spanish. This is before I went to Costa Rica. I had to go to Costa Rica for a year to learn Spanish. And before I went to Costa Rica, I'd get really insecure with my Spanish. Well, you know what I did? I basically spoke light words of doubt before I even spoke to these teachers. Well, you know, my Spanish isn't, you know, perfect, but I'm going to try to communicate with you this morning. No, you don't do that, because you know what the devil does? The devil says, oh, yeah, she's defeated. She's doubtful. Get her, get her, get her. And then you feel terrible afterwards, like, why did I say that? Okay, so death in life is in the power of the tongue. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth. Be careful of your mind thought. Okay, emotions. Oh, my goodness, emotions. Woo! Okay, we can walk in our emotions. Okay? Well, I can't believe she looked at me like that. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it's raining again today. When is the summer going to come? What's this all about? Oh, I'm in such a bad mood today. Oh, maybe I'll drink some more coffee and I'll feel better. Oh, my goodness. Okay? We cannot allow our emotions. Okay, emotions are real. Be aware of your emotions, but you don't let them rule you. You have to say, you know what? I'm walking in the soul right now, and I got to walk in the spirit. Married couples this morning, the devil would like nothing more, John 10:10, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill your marriage, your family. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to rob from you. Okay? He wants to rob joy. He wants to rob everything he can from you. Do not let him do that, because the second part says, but I have come that you have life and life in abundance. Okay? So we need to be aware of this when we're walking out of line. So this is what happens, people. Let me give this to you real quick, and then we'll finish up. You're supposed to be walking in the spirit as a Christian. When you're walking in the spirit, you're at the grocery store, you can say hello to the cashier, how you doing today? You know, don't feel like you have to be like, you need to get saved right now. No, sometimes you got to meet people in the natural first. Then you can start sharing spiritual things with them. You know, sometimes people want to listen. I'm trying to think of that phrase that says, people don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care. building relationships. And you know, I'll tell you, in Colombia, the reason the gospel message is being sent forth and people are getting saved like crazy in Colombia, because their culture is number one, relationships. You know what's number one in America? Work. Work, which could go along with what you just said. Work. Yep, work. I got to get there. New York minute. Time is money. I'm in a hurry. We used to have a joke in Colombia. I taught at a missionary kids school when I first went down as a missionary. And we said it took 15 minutes for a Colombian to go make a photocopy, and it took 3 minutes for an American. Because along the way, the Colombians, oh, how you doing today? How's your grandmother? How you feeling? Oh, that dress looks so nice on you. Where did you get that? And they talk to each other. And I remember at one of our staff meetings, the Colombian said, you know what, the Americans are kind of rude to us. And we were like, ooh, sorry. We weren't meaning to be rude. We were just like, I got to get the photocopy done and get back and teach it. Okay? So, I mean, there's good and bad to both cultures, but they're very relational, and they want to know what's going on. Okay, so anyways, walking in the Spirit. This is what happens, people, this morning. Let me show you this, and I'm going to tell you how we can walk in the Spirit. The soul gets ahead of the Spirit, and we walk out of line. Okay, we walk out of line. Okay, think about a chiropractor. You straightened your back. We're out of line. Okay, did you ever somebody say to you, you're out of line? Okay, because we do get out of line. We let the soul and the flesh get ahead of the Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, you're walking out of line. It's like alignment, okay? Alignment of a car. Now, when I'm in Colombia, I'm driving my car, and I'm like, boom, 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 boom. I mean, I'm going over bricks and trash and garbage. I mean, I'm going up in the mountains. One time I went over a pig leg with the hoof on it. I was like, oh, my goodness, there's a pig leg in the road. Well, we'll just go over it, I guess. You never know what you're going over. Well, when you hit a lot of curbs or go through potholes and stuff, your car gets out of line. Alignment means straight relative position, okay? So you have to go for a front-end alignment on your car if you're doing that, you're going through potholes a lot and stuff like that. And the synonym for alignment is lineup. And when we get out of line and the soul is walking ahead of the Spirit, okay, I'm going to give you this morning, okay, because this is something that helped me so much. I learned this years ago. When I feel like I'm walking in the flesh, I'm not walking in the Spirit, I feel like I'm, you know, you feel angry, you feel mad, I know all these emotions, or you got all these thoughts in your mind, all these things are happening. You know, come on, we all know when we're doing that, okay? Get this morning, this is what I actually pray. I say, Spirit, line up under the Holy Spirit. Soul, submit to the Spirit, and then body. I choose to be Spirit-controlled under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And get this morning, church. I choose to be Spirit-controlled personality and Spirit-controlled temperament. Because we all got a personality and we all got a temperament. And some of our personalities aren't so nice. But when it's under the... when it's under the Holy Spirit, it will be Spirit-controlled. Here's another verse for you. I pray it all the time. I say, may my speech, it's Colossians 4:6. If you're taking notes, write it down. Colossians 4:6. May my speech be with grace. I actually do this. May my speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that I would have wisdom how to answer each and every person. Because I don't know about you, but so many times, open mouth, insert foot, okay? Or like you say something, you're like, ah! And you wish you could put the words back. It's like the toothpaste. When you squeeze the toothpaste, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, okay? That's us a lot of times, and we get ourselves in trouble. Do you know the Bible says in Proverbs, even a fool is known to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut? Sometimes you just got to be quiet, and we don't have to be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, sometimes you know what? I don't need to say anything, okay? And I pray that all the time, Lord. Show me when to speak, when not to speak, Lord. Show me to keep my mouth shut when I need to keep it shut. Here's another verse for you. Go home and look these all up, guys. There's so many good verses in the Bible. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and mind your own business. Woo! Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and mind your own business. We don't need to know what's going on with everybody. Well, how come they have it? What's going on there? Oh, you know what? The husband hasn't church for a long time. No. You know what? Then just pray for that person, okay? But we don't have to know everything that's going on all the time. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, a godly life. So I just leave you with this morning. Dwell on God's word. There are so many good promises in God's word. Romans 14:17 says, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness is right standing with the Lord. Peace, that all is well between you and your Savior. You have that peace. You know, when I first got saved, I had like this peace, and I almost felt bored. I don't know if anybody can relate to this. I felt like kind of bored, like, what's happening? Like, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Because I was so used to being in crisis all the time. This is happening. Oh, my goodness. Ah! Okay. I don't know about you, but when that peace comes, it's like, what is this? It's just, and it's peace. All is well between you and your Savior. And joy. People, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what? If we walk around Christians like this all the time, oh, yeah, I go to Cobble School Assembly of God, and that's what's up. No, joy. Hallelujah. You know what? Things may not be going right now, but God is in control. And speaking words of life. You know, we live in a day and age. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. But you know, we know we have victory in Jesus Christ. We know that. Hold on to that. Be positive. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. I'm just going to end this morning because I don't know if I have some kids in here this morning, but I brought my machete. This is a machete from Colombia, and this is a tool that they use in Colombia. And I just want to give you this morning to tell you this. They use it for yard work. When you cut the grass, this is what you use. If you're going to go home and do yard work today, cutting the grass with the machete. Mangoes, papayas, and if you're in hot country, now this has not happened to me, but if there's a poisonous snake, red, yellow, or green, or all three colors, you get away. You never slice the snake because the poison will come out and kill you. You always smash it, bam, 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 with the head of the machete. But I want to tell you this morning, the armor of God is in Ephesians 6. And years ago, there came a time when I was in Colombia where I got really, really down in the dumps. And I just felt like, man, I can't get out of this. And I thought, maybe I'll just go home and be a New York State school teacher and get my own car and live there and go to Wegmans and get all the food that I want and eat Cheerios every day for breakfast and, you know, like things that I didn't have in Colombia, okay? And I'll be with my family. Woo! It's not sharp! If it was sharp, it would take off your finger. And I remember being on the street corner. I want to leave you with this word today because the Holy Spirit just told me to share this with you. I love the Holy Spirit. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you things. Man, it's awesome. It's amazing. I remember standing on the street corner. Remember I told you about the buses, and it got really complicated getting a bus. And security goes up and down in Colombia because of the war there and everything that's happening. Security is the number one source of employment in Colombia, by the way. I have a street guard on my street. He blows his whistle every 30 minutes at night to let us know he's alive, well, and on the job. Okay, and I love hearing that whistle. It's music to my ears at night. Every street has a street guard. This church would have a guard. He might even have a place here to stay at night. You go to the grocery store, there's a guard. Everywhere you go, it's the number one source of employment. But anyways, I was standing on the street corner, and security was kind of at an all-time high, let's say, for Americans. We had to be very careful. And I was so discouraged. And you know what? I started doing this every morning. I started praying Ephesians 6. I want to encourage you this morning, pray the word of God. There's so many, Psalms 119. Go home and read Psalm 119. Maybe you guys know it as the longest chapter in the Bible. Let me tell you, it is awesome. It's all about God's word. It is beautiful. Psalm 119, I would encourage you to go home and read it today. It's beautiful. But anyways, I stood on the street corner and I literally did this. I put on the helmet of salvation right now in the name of Jesus. I declare I have the mind of Christ. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I put on the belt of truth. And I acted it out on the street corner of Bogota with people going by me. And I said, I don't care who sees me. They'll think I'm crazy and they'll leave me alone. and I shod my feet with the gospel of peace. And I take up the shield of faith, which extinguishes every fiery dart of the enemy. Because there's darts coming at you all the time. The darts are like this. Bing, bing, bing. And they're penetrating. And they're controlling us. We take up the shield of faith. Bing. They bounce off that shield. Okay? And I take up the sword. And I didn't have my machete, but I'm going to be a little exaggerated today. And I take up the sword, which is the word of God. And I declare victory in the name of Jesus. And I stood on that street corner. And I did this. I lifted up my hand. And I said every Bible verse I could remember. No weapon formed against me going to prosper. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Every single Bible. I want to tell you this. When you start speaking the word of God and you take control over your life, over your thoughts, your emotions, you will have victory and you will see your life getting better and better. You'll be like, wow, my marriage is so much better. My relationships are so much better. Wow, I don't lose my peace as much anymore. Do you know every year there should be a change in your life as a Christian? I want to encourage you today, start getting into the word of God, speak the word of God, and when you're out of line, get in alignment. Spirit, line up under the Holy Spirit. Soul submits to the spirit and then body. I choose to be spirit controlled under the power, the authority of the Holy Spirit. It's a choice each and every day. Thank you so much. You are wonderful. I totally lost track of time. I hope I didn't go over. I'm so sorry. I brought my watch up here and everything, but God bless you guys. You're wonderful. There's prayer cards back there. There's brochures. Help yourself. I covet your prayers. If you're a prayer warrior, go ahead. Feel free. Take as many prayer cards, brochures as you would like. God bless you for being a missions church. It's so nice, and I hope I get to meet several of you guys after service. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor Ray. God bless you.